from the Diocese of Gallup. Welcome to Crozier Cast. This is the podcast hosted by our very own Bishop James Wall, and he's sitting here with me today. Bishop Wall, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
Good, good. How is your Advent going?
It's going well. As I said earlier, the podcast, I like to look at Advent as a time for a spiritual reset, you know, the beginning of the new year. And so we're just a few days into it, but it's going well. Lots of good prayer, daily Mass, obviously, and starting off very well.
Good.
And we get a full 4 weeks this year, which is exciting.
We do.
We don't get shortchanged on that last week before Christmas.
Good. So today we were talking about family members who are either not Catholic, they've never been Catholic, or perhaps they've fallen away. They were, and now they're not. And especially around the holidays when families can all get together, this might be a source of pain or a little awkward for some of them. So do you have any advice for people who might find themselves in this kind of situation?
Sure. I think kind of related to that, I think a lot of people were worried about Thanksgiving following the election. And there seemed to be kind of a national narrative that was driving that Thanksgiving meals are going to just be painful, and they're going to turn into this big debate. They're just going to be as ugly as the election was. I don't think too many people experienced that. I think a lot of people were truly thankful for each other coming together on Thanksgiving Day for Thanksgiving meal. I think that's one of the ways that we approach it. We see the other, maybe not as something that we're against this person or they're against my beliefs. But we have to be able to see the other as God sees us first, and that's obviously created in His image and likeness. And then from that, how are we always supposed to act? We're always supposed to act in love. So what's love? Love is willing good of the other. So I think if that's our starting point, I think we're going to be okay. But if we go into it, guns a-blazing or just, loaded for bear, I think that then we're gonna have some problems. So I think it's a good launching off point.
What about, I think sometimes if we have particularly parents who are seeing children, and maybe those children have fallen away, because, there have been studies, that show that increasingly among the younger generation, some of them are identifying as non-religious or just spiritual.
Nuns.
So
N-O-N-E-S.
Right. So if there were parents who maybe, they probably take it particularly hard, they feel maybe that they failed somehow, what would your words be to them?
Yeah, we hear that a lot. We hear that a lot. Even, sometimes a person might even be confessing his or her sins. And within that, they'll be saying, my children don't go to Mass anymore. And somehow they feel that's their duty, their responsibility. So that can be very, very hard. But, each person has to be able to make that decision for his or herself. Now, obviously the right decision is to choose God, because that's the path and the only path that leads us to eternal life. And, by no other name do we come to salvation, but under the name of Jesus Christ. So I would say maybe a parent might look back and say, well, I didn't take my kids to church, or I didn't have a good, didn't create a good environment at home, and maybe I didn't practice my own faith. And that might maybe cause to kind of beat ourselves up a little bit. But what I would say is, you can always start today. And you can start today by living out your faith and setting a good example, whether your children are at home with you and or they're adults and they've moved out of the house. The other part of that too, though, is if you are a parent who has just faithfully lived out your Catholic faith, set a very good example and pass that along to your children. And then your children choose to make an adult decision to not practice their faith. That's their decision. It's not a good decision, but that's their decision. And try not to own that choice that they've made. You can always give them the image. I think St. Peter's Basilica is, this is how I always see the church, and our Holy Father's talked about this too. In St. Peter's Basilica, probably the most famous church in the world, they have those arms that kind of that come out from the basilica, and that's the image of Holy Mother Church, and her arms always open wide. They're not closed, but they're always open wide. Always, they're arms that are welcoming and inviting her children to come to her. And so I think if for parents, if they have children who have fallen away from the practice of the faith, to pass along just that little tidbit, you know, the church is always there for you. The doors of the church are always there. Pope Francis said that the doors of the churches need to be open. Now sometimes we have to keep them closed fortunately for security reasons. But the doors of the church should always be open, always inviting her children to come into the church. So I think if we, for a parent maybe who has a child who's been away, then just simply pass that along in a really charitable manner, in a kind manner, in a gentle manner too. The church always proposes, she doesn't impose. And I think that's one of the things, we make the proposal that the church is always there and open for you.
What about spouses? Perhaps there's a couple that their spouse has never been Catholic. Maybe their spouse was and fell away for whatever reasons. Do you think that can be even more sensitive than the case of a parent and a child?
Probably. It probably would be more sensitive. The ideal situation is that husband and wife are of the same faith, and so that they can practice the faith together. So, for example, the husband and wife would both be Catholic. They would share the sacrament of holy matrimony, and then they also would be able to share the sacraments together, attending Mass on Sunday, holy days of obligation, being able to receive Holy Communion together, being able to go to sacrament of reconciliation, of penance, on a regular basis, to be reconciled. I mean, what a great gift that is. You think about that, a husband and a wife being able to go to, not confession at the same time, obviously, but go to confession together. And then what they can do is they can pass that along to their children by example, and then also by teaching too. So, the ideal situation is that they are of the same faith. If they're not of the same faith, I speak from a Catholic perspective, again, it always has to be kind. It always has to be loving. It always has to be gentle. All the things that Jesus is, the Good Shepherd, in terms of proposing the faith to someone, we don't want to hit them over the head. That just turns a lot of people off. And we want to make the invitation. The invitation we hear our Lord makes over and over here. Come to me, all you who are labored and burdened. Who's labored and burdened? All of humanity is labored and burdened, especially because of sin and death. So we make that gentle, inviting invitation, if I'm a spouse, to my spouse, to come to know more about the faith, to join me at church, to join me in prayer. There's all sorts of opportunities that pop up.
Have you had much experience talking to people, maybe they at a family gathering, family that they don't see very often, or friends who can appear hostile to the Catholic faith? Maybe they don't understand what it's about, or they dislike it for whatever reason, and sometimes that can be a little awkward. So how would you, would you kind of give them the same advice when it comes to approaching people who are just very overt about not liking the church?
I would. And what I'd say is I'd look for the opportunity. Sometimes the opportunity can present itself with a question or a comment. Now, if it's just flat out very hostile, then sometimes those are best not even to deal with, but I looking for the opportunity, and when it does present itself, sometimes those things are better one-on-one as opposed to in a group setting, because somebody might have put up a front that they're very against the Catholic Church, and around a lot of people, and then in order to save face, they might feel like they can't ask a question, you know. And so sometimes we look for those opportunities, and they present themselves in 101. What I would do is I'd pray about that. Say, Lord, you know, if there's a particular person or a particular family that it seems to be hostile to the faith or doesn't lack good understanding about the faith, what I would do is I would pray, Lord, you know, soften their hearts. And then I would also pray and give me the right words to say. And then you also want to be prepared, right? You always want to be ready to give a witness to your hope. Our hope is in Christ Jesus and His church. And so you always want to be prepared. So to know your faith and to know it well. And then the other thing, I probably to add on to that, if you don't know it, that's, you know, don't try to make it up. But say, you know, I don't know if I can answer that question well for you, but because I want to give you a good answer, let me look that up and let me get back to you. And one of the great things is everybody has a smartphone in their hands, and so you can always go to the Catechism online, or you can Catholic.org or Catholic Answers. They always do great things, and you can get information right at your fingertips.
Are there any figures in your own life or in the church life that you think provide a good example of how to handle people who have fallen away or who don't understand the faith?
Well, I think Pope Francis right now is number one, and because he gives us that image right away, he said, you know, the church is a field hospital, and so, you know, a hospital is always there, is always waiting, and always prepared to receive people who are injured. We're all injured, and ultimately we're all injured because of sin and death, but some of us might be more injured than others. You know, for different hurts, different reasons why they might have fallen away from the faith. Sometimes it could be from laziness, you know, I just chose not to practice my faith. Or, you know, somebody might have hurt us in the church and that keeps us away from the faith. But, you know, that I think Pope Francis gives us that image of the field hospital, always ready to welcome people and be a place of healing. And it can be a place of healing because when we do come to the church, we don't simply encounter the church as an institution, but we encounter the living Christ. And our healing can be found in Christ. We see examples of that throughout the scriptures, time and time and time again. As we're just this morning at Mass, we had the healing of the two blind men. And so they had great faith in our Lord, and they trusted that He could heal them. And he did. So if we have great faith, we come to the church, Jesus Christ's church, which he founded, and we trust that we can be healed, you know, that field hospital, then great things can happen.
And you have this beautiful picture in your office, too, of, I believe it's St. Augustine and St. Monica. Do you think they provide a good example for how we should act?
I do. I think, taking them together and then taking them separately. I think St. Augustine is a man for our times, you know, 1,500 years ago. But he was very, very worldly. And I think as we see our society and our culture becoming more and more secular, we're seeing lots of Augustines. Now, Augustine was a brilliant man, and he was searching for the truth, but he was looking for it all the wrong places. And he was open to the truth. And so they say through the catechesis, the teachings of St. Ambrose, he came to understand the Catholic faith. So I think he's a great example in that. You know, St. Ambrose was prepared to give him what he needed in order to understand the faith. And his mother, faithful Catholic woman, St. Monica, yeah, you know, she prayed and prayed and prayed for her son. And they say that he was converted through the catechesis of St. Ambrose and the prayers and the tears of St. Monica. And so she was always very inviting, always very loving, spent long hours on her knees praying for her son, and spending tears over her son too. And eventually those prayers were answered when St. Augustine became Catholic. So I think there are lots of Augustines in the world, and there's lots of Monicas in the world. We talked to lots of parents, you know, mothers and fathers, who really spend a lot of tears over their wayward children. You know, they've fallen away from the faith, they're living a life that's not good, all sorts of different things. So I think the example of somebody like St. Monica can give them a lot of encouragement. It's very edifying. And it gives them a good example, too. You never, when you read the lives of St. Augustine and the Confession of St. Augustine, you never read the line where you never read anything about St. Monica essentially, you know, hitting him over the head with a hammer or a sledgehammer and forcing him into the church. No, she prayed and prayed for her son. She invited, she proposed, she did all the right things.
And didn't it take quite a while? I think, you know, we're kind of in a society where we want things immediately, but does it speak a little bit to perseverance, do you think?
It is. I think Augustine, I don't think he came to the faith until he was 33. And so it did take a while. And you know, I think we have to trust sometimes when we say something to someone, or the prayers that we offer up for someone, we really have to trust that they're going to come to fruition. Ultimately, they're going to come to fruition in God's time. And, so, and a lot of times, God's time isn't our time. And we live in this instant gratification. You know, we want the fastest smartphone. We want the fastest Wi-Fi. We want our answer. We want it now. And sometimes that's not how things happen. Now, sometimes it is. We pray for something, and the answer to our prayer is right there, but many times I think it's a trusting in divine providence, and we have to I think be patient. Yeah, patient. It's hard to be patient in today's world.
You mentioned in our last episode that Advent, in its own way, is a little bit of a penitentiary season, and it's a season of waiting. So, do you think that this time of year especially offers any particular opportunities when we find ourselves in situations like this?
I think so, yeah. It is a penitential, it has a bit of a penitential season to it. And as the old saying goes, you know, sometimes we have to wait on something, and what do? We offer it up. And we just don't offer it up, meaning like, well, I kind of put it out there and I'll just wait on it. But when we offer it up and unite it to the crucified Lord, because the crucified Lord brings glory out. We know the resurrection comes from the crucifixion, and he brings glory out. So I think what we do is we specifically offer it up and wait, but we offer it up and unite it to the crucified Christ.
And do you have any particular prayers or maybe biblical passages you would recommend for people to reflect on?
Well, there's a number of prayers to Saint Monica, specifically for this, for people who have not, first, maybe don't even know the faith, or have fallen away from the faith. And so she is a good patroness for that, to ask her intercession. If you don't have one, you know, right away, again, we can always pull them up on our smartphone, but if you don't have one right away, you can just simply say, Saint Monica, pray for her, or Saint Monica, pray for him, or Saint Monica, pray for us, and trust that she who is in heaven and seeing the glory of God is interceding for that particular intention.
Do you have any final reflections you'd like to give people?
It is a joy-filled and a season of hopeful expectation. And going back to that original thought with Thanksgiving, you know, we can get caught up in all sort of the trappings of Thanksgiving, and we can forget what is important, and that is to be thankful to our loving God and thankful for the people who we are able to share the day with. And that should be how we should approach it each and every day of our lives. So for this Advent season, we can get really caught up in a lot of the commercial trappings, see that those point to a much, much greater reality, and that is the birth of our Savior. and to be thankful for the lives of the people that perhaps you're sending a card to, you're giving a phone call to them around Advent or Christmas, or perhaps you're buying a gift. To be thankful for them and pray for them. Really, really pray for them. Raise your heart and your mind to the one who has the power to save. And so if somebody is practicing their Catholic faith, pray that their faith might be strengthened. If someone has fallen away for it, you know, pray that they would come back. If someone has no idea about the Catholic faith, you know, pray that they might come to know that truth. And then always be prepared. We always want to be prepared to give a witness for our reason to hope. And our reason to hope is in Jesus Christ.
Good. Any final thoughts before we end this episode?
Well, I think this is good. It's a good, timely topic because lots of people are getting together. Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's. You might be kind of rekindling friendships, relationships, things like that. And what is the best gift that you can give? The best gift that you can give someone is you can introduce them to Jesus Christ and His church.
All right, well, thank you for being with us again today, Bishop Wall.
Thank you. I enjoyed it.
Have a blessed rest of this week for the Advent season. Thanks again for listening to Crozier Cast with Bishop James S. Wall for the Diocese of Gallup. We wanted to apologize again for all the trains and background noise you can hear throughout the episode. I think as we mentioned in a previous episode, we recently moved buildings, so we're right across the train tracks, and the building we're in picks up everything, so we will try to even out some of these technical difficulties in the future. But in the meantime, thank you so much for listening. If you'd like to find this or any other episodes online anytime, you can visit voiceofthesouthwest.org. You can also subscribe for free anytime you like on iTunes and carry the podcast with you and get updates as they come out each week. I'm Suzanne Hammonds, Director of Communications. Thanks again for listening. We'll see you next week for another episode.